So if you brought your Bibles with you, I'm going to invite you to grab them with me, and let's open up to Matthew 1, 18 to 21, and then we're going to move over to Luke 2, verses 1 to 7. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 21, and then Luke 2, verses 1 to 7. Listen to this from the Word of God. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinus was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Once again, Merry almost Christmas. It's getting here, isn't it? I mean, if you want to talk about the anticipation of Christmas, sit down with a five-year-old and ask them to explain to you how they feel about not opening those gifts just yet, right? I find that this night specifically is a night that if we're not careful, we can almost celebrate as if Christmas has already happened. And I don't know about you, but growing up in a two-family system where mom and dad didn't live together, I remember I would always celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve with one family and Christmas morning with another one. And I find that if we're not careful, we can even do that here in this space. I've been to so many Christmas Eve services. I've even caught myself sometimes having to notice that it's only Christmas Eve. It's not quite here yet. I mean, even for Mary and Joseph, you got to imagine by now they're just probably getting into Bethlehem, or perhaps they're getting settled into the stable. In this culture, in this time, it wouldn't have been a wooden structure. It would have probably been a cave. And so they're sitting there. It's cold. It's dark. They know what's coming, but it ain't there yet. And so there's this moment of tension that's happening. The weight of that night, the reality of what's about to happen is sitting there on their shoulders. There's this anticipation of what's going to come, but it hasn't happened just yet. I mean, if we think about this, that they've been sitting with this for well over 9 months now, give or take a little time. I wonder how many of us have had something going on in our lives that we can relate with this and say, I get it. I mean, 9 months, three quarters of a year, right? They've been sitting with this. They have been literally sitting in this in-between space between the promise of what's going to come and the fact that it ain't happened yet.
I mean, think about this from Mary's point of view for a minute. Here is a young lady. According to their culture, she probably would have most likely gotten engaged when she was about maybe 13, 14, 15 years old, because they wanted ladies to be able to have as many kids as possible, and the life expectancy wasn't as long. And so here is, in the eyes of this community, here is this young teen mama who's pregnant with an unexpected pregnancy. That's exactly what she's going through. I mean, one day, she's sitting there, and she has this amazing experience. An angel shows up to her. And this angel says to her, "You have found favor in God's eyes. You are going to have a child, and this child will be the Holy One. This is the one that your ancestors have been waiting generations for. This is the one that's going to bring love and healing and hope to so many people." Mary says, "How can this be? I've never been with a man." The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come over you. And I can't imagine at this moment what must be running through her brain. I mean, could you imagine as a young person going to your parents and trying to explain this to them? The Bible says that she found favor in God's eyes. So this is a good girl. That this is an honorable woman. And I wonder if perhaps she had this huge fear and excitement in her. You know, as she went to her parents, this family that is deeply rooted in the Jewish culture, that they've spent their lives learning about the coming of the Messiah. And I wonder if there was almost this joy and excitement in her as she tries to start unpacking what this amazing moment that just happened, where she had an angel visit her. And yet what we do know about this is that Joseph planned to divorce her. And if Joseph planned to divorce her, then that means that most likely the family didn't believe her. And I can almost imagine the look on mom and dad's face, this rock solid, angry look, and just the joy in her face drain away as she gets the fact that they don't believe her. I mean, I can't imagine the rifts this must have created in her family. The brokenness, the straight up fights and anger that ensued. Her family basically calling her a liar to her face. And she's probably feeling completely defenseless in this moment, isn't she? She's feeling like, I have this thing, but no one is going to believe me. And I can't imagine how people in the community must have started treating her. I mean, the Jewish law says that if she becomes pregnant before she's married, the law says that she could actually be stoned to death. They could straight up kill her. She is literally fearing for her life. And so here is Mary, that this woman, who she's trying so hard to do what's right. And yet, as hard as she's trying, as she's stuck in this in-between time of what she knows to be true, but it hasn't happened yet, she's probably feeling like, no matter how hard I try, it just isn't working. Honestly, I wonder how many of you right now are sitting in an in-between time of something that could be, but it isn't yet. Of a problem that has been going on, but it's not resolved. And just like Mary, I wonder how many of us just need to hold tight to this promise. In her heart, this young lady is probably holding so tight to this promise, this experience she's had. I mean, in her heart, she's almost white-knuckled saying, I did experience this. It really did happen. And she's trying so hard to do the right thing. And it just feels like her entire world is collapsing around her. And then on the flip side of this, here's Joseph. Right? The Bible tells us that Joseph is an upright, a righteous man. And in this day and time, they would have had an arranged marriage. So there's a chance that Joseph would have actually known Mary since they were little kids. He would have known, this one is going to be my wife. He would have grown up knowing this person, knowing that she is a good person, favorable in God's eyes, right? He probably would have already had feelings for her. And all of a sudden, here comes this moment when Joseph hears that this girl that he has known his entire life, this girl that's going to be his wife, is now pregnant, and he knows it's not his. The scriptures tell us that he decides within himself to divorce her quietly, the kinder of his two legal options. And he's trying to do this in a very discreet way, probably not to dishonor her and her family, probably even not to dishonor himself. He's got to feel so hurt right now. His stomach has to be in knots. He's probably staying up late at night, running over this over and over and over again. How could this be? Who would have been the person she was with? When did this happen? Why did this happen? What did I do? Was I not a good enough man for her? And then he goes to bed. And in a dream, an angel shows up to him. And the angel basically says, Joseph, look, I know this wasn't what you had planned for your life. I know things aren't turning out quite the way you thought they would. And I know that you feel like you're stuck in a place where there really is no good options. But you need to understand that God is with you. That God has chosen you to be the daddy of this beautiful baby. That you need to stick around and be there. Because God believes in you. You know, the one thing that Joseph doesn't know at this point, Mary doesn't know, as they're literally sitting in this in-between time of what they know to be true and what's happening in their realistic everyday lives. The one thing that they don't know is that this baby is going to grow up. And when he does, he is going to let us know that he is God himself. That God stepped out of perfection and into our brokenness. That he did this because he loves you so much. That he can't stand the idea of spending eternity without you. That there's nothing you can do to be so far gone, to be so broken, that there's not one thing you can do, nothing you could think, nothing you could ever do. That would separate you so far from God that he doesn't want to have a relationship with you. Mary and Joseph have no idea that their son is going to grow up, that he's going to teach people of all kinds of languages and backgrounds, from the most wealthy to the poor, that he is going to hang out with the most diseased and hurting and broken people, the people who have made the biggest mess of their lives, and let them know that God loves them. And that if they open up their hearts to him, that he will walk with them and be there with them. That no matter what happens in their life, you are never too far gone. Beyond this, what they have no idea is going to happen is when Jesus gets older, when he's about 33 years old, he is going to die on the cross for our sins. He's literally going to have hunks of metal driven through his flesh, hung up there. He's going to be spit on, yelled at, have his hair ripped out of his face and his head. He's ultimately going to die in our place. And here's the reality of what's going on. 3 days later, he's going to raise to life again. And when we accept Jesus Christ in our heart, when we own the fact that we are broken, that we can't make it on our own, that we try so hard over and over like Mary, that our life is looking like I didn't think it was going to turn out this way, just like Joseph. That when we accept Jesus in our hearts, that we are actually made into a new creation. That because that there is this moment when God becomes a part of us. When we recognize that we can't do this on our own, that as Christ is a part of us, we actually share in the resurrection. I mean, the reality is, when we accept Christ in our lives, you are given this radical, beautiful strength, not only to resist evil and pain and injustice, not only to fight for what is good, but to know that you are truly loved. That there's this deep-seatedness. The Bible says it's a peace that passes this world's version of understanding. And we call that the Holy Spirit within us. But at this point, Mary and Joseph, they're just sitting in darkness. All they know is that it's cold, that they feel alone. They probably feel like their family doesn't care, that there's no one that truly cares about them, that they're holding so tight to this promise, but it's not here yet. And y'all, in our own way, we are going through an in-between time. We have something amazing right now, if you think about it. I mean, for generations, the Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah to come, right? That they just knew it was going to happen, but it hadn't happened yet. We already have Christ. I mean, God has already done this. He stepped down out of perfection, and he's joined us. He's given us a hope. He's let us know that you are loved, that you are claimed as family. But the fullness of that isn't quite here yet. I mean, we have this opportunity to have a personal relationship with God here and now. And honestly, if you think about it, that's a radical thing. But we also have the promise that someday we will spend forever with him in a place where there is no hatred or pain, where no one is ever going to seek to hurt you or wreck you or to talk bad about you behind your back or to manipulate you, where you can be in a place where you feel so safe and loved and comfortable that you can let all your walls down, where there is true joy and happiness and celebration, and that place is heaven. So y'all, we sit in an in-between space too. We sit in a space where Christ has come, but there's still more to come. We get this radical love. I mean, if we think about all the things we've ever done and all the things we've ever thought, everything that's ever run through our brain, and yet God knows each and every one of those, and he still loves you and claims you as family and says, I want you to come to me. And yet there's still more to come. Y'all, perhaps for some of you here tonight, you've been sitting in a cold, dark place. Perhaps for some of you, you're sitting there and you can relate to Mary, and you're just sitting there saying, no matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I fight, it just doesn't seem to be working. Perhaps for you, you're like Joseph and you're looking at your life going, this isn't what I was expecting. I don't know why, it just seems like everything keeps falling down around me. Maybe you have been living in the tension for a long time. Maybe 3/4 of a year feels like nothing to you. But you need to know that there's a promise, that there's a love out there. I mean, honestly, I have been radically changed. I have been freed from depression. And I have been freed from hatred towards people. And I have found a love and a hope in my life. And honestly, I can't explain that away outside of God. And I know so many of you are wrestling with those exact same things. And so I need to let you know that if you accept him into your heart, that it's not going to be perfect and it's not going to be easy because we live in a broken world, but you will have a love that will radically change you, and you will have a promise of an eternity that you can hold so tight to that there's nothing in this world that can ever take it away. So the bottom line is, we live in an in-between time. What are you going to do about it? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father God, I admit that I slip up and I don't always get it right. We sit in a time when we remember that you stepped into our broken world, that you were laid in a slobber-covered feeding trough, that you were born into a barn to simply let us know that there is nobody that you don't love, that there's no one you don't reach out to. And God, sometimes I need to own that because I need to remember that I am not too far gone. We thank you for that love. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand what that really means in this in-between seasons of our life. We pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.